Jeremiah chapter 37, verses 11 to 21. Behind the scenes. Now, I confess I've had some difficulty in choosing a title here. What I'm trying to convey in this discourse is what I see here. Here is the prophet. Here is the prophet behind the scenes, as it were. Here is the prophet without the gloss. What am I trying to say? Well, we don't have prophets today, but we have preachers. And it seems to me that the preachers and the preaching we have today, we seem to be a very long way removed from what I see in the New Testament. And there's so much gloss and shine and kudos and top of the tree about preaching. I'm trying to hunt for words here. Where the reality, if you see it, Jeremiah in the prophet here, is much more humdrum, much more difficult, much more mundane. Let me explain what I mean. What do we see here? The Babylonian army has withdrawn from Jerusalem. Egypt has got involved, and Babylon is withdrawn. But it's only a temporary withdrawal. But it does look at the moment as though Jeremiah has been wrong. The false prophets have been right all along. Jeremiah has got it wrong. Now, Jeremiah wants to sort out his property. While the Babylonians are withdrawn, he's got some property in Benjamin, and he wants to sort it out. And so he wants to go across there and see to it. Jeremiah, verse 12, started to leave the city to go to the territory of Benjamin to get his share of the property among the people there. But at the gate, the Benjamin gate, verse 13, the soldiers, the guard there, the captain of the guard, arrested him and accused him of deserting to the Babylonians. Now, Jeremiah had actually prophesied and encouraged the people to go over to the Babylonians. For example, it'll be referred to in the next chapter, 38 and verse 2. This is what the Lord says, whoever stays in this city will die by the sword, famine, or plague, but whoever goes over to the Babylonians will live. So there was some evidence for this, but he was not deserting here. He was just sorting out his property. But immediately he's brought into tremendous, really rough treatment, verse 15. They were angry with Jeremiah. They had him beaten. They had him imprisoned. He was thrown into this house, and he was detained, the house of Jonathan the secretary, which they've made into a prison. He was put into, verse 16, a vaulted cell in a dungeon, and he was there for a long time. And these weren't like prisons today with colour television and hot and cold in every room and all the rest of it. Oh no, this was a real dungeon, and he's there a long time. This is the reality of it. And it gets worse, for the king sends for him and had him brought to the palace, where he asked Jeremiah privately, is there any word from the Lord? Verse 17, yes, Jeremiah replied, you will be handed over to the king of Babylon. You see, again, Jeremiah's meeting hypocrisy in the king, outwardly confident, outwardly secure, outwardly sure, standing with the false prophets, but inwardly hypocritical, insecure. Outward is all bluster, but inwardly he's deeply anxious. And then Jeremiah takes up his case. Verse 18. What have I crime? What crime have I committed? What have I done against you or your officials that you put me in prison? I've only preached the word of the Lord. And then he challenges the king. Well, where are these prophets who prophesied all these wonderful things for you? The king of Babylon will not attack you or this land. That's what they said, but the king of Babylon has come. Of course, he's withdrawn temporarily, but it's only a temporary thing. Verse 20, but now, my lord the king, please listen. Let me bring my petition before you. Do not send me back to the house of this Jonathan, or I shall die there. And the king was kinder to Jeremiah. He relented. He knew, you see. He knew that Jeremiah was right. Underneath, they know, don't they? King Zedekiah gave orders, and Jeremiah was still fed with bread from the street of the bakers until famine took over and the siege destroyed them. But he was still detained, but not in the deep dungeon. Well, what am I trying to say here? God is showing us here, taking the wraps off. We get so much about the romance of prophecy, the romance of preaching today, the exalting status of preachers, the kudos, the top of the tree business. But look at what it really is like underneath. Look how grim it is. What misunderstandings there are, what misrepresentations, what lies, what hypocrisy we have to face, what ignorance we have to face, what blind unbelief we had to deal with. Utterly inconsistency, insecurity. What a mess it all is. And this is where we're called to minister. This is the place we have to preach the gospel. Amongst misunderstanding, misrepresentation, hypocrisy, ignorance, blind unbelief, inconsistency, insecurity. False prophets going around the place. False teaching. I mean, we're told about it. Peter, chapter, the second letter, second chapter. There were false prophets. There'd be false teachers among you. It's right from the very beginning, even in the apostolic days. And Jeremiah, in this passage, this record here, shows us the reality of it. You see, preaching is not what it seems today. Today it's all so glamorous, isn't it? So glitzy. So top of the tree business. We need men of Jeremiah's stamp who will go through the mill like Paul. That's what we see in the Bible time and time again. Micaiah, Jeremiah, Isaiah, all these people. Paul, Christ himself. Why do they crucify Christ? Why do they try to banish preachers and saying to Amos, go back south. Don't preach your stuff up here. Don't prophesy here. Go somewhere else and do it. We've had enough of it. That's the reality. May God open our eyes. May we pray for true preachers. May God raise up true preachers. We're not looking for the kudos and the glamour, but looking for the reality of it. And in that reality, we'll stand for God and proclaim his word. This is what the Lord says. In this sea of sin and trouble. Oh, sin does complicate things. Sin does make things miserably wretched. But God raises his true men, lights in a dark place, lighthouses in a rough sea. May God give us such for Christ's sake. Amen.